Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 15th of November, recording at 8:44 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, this has been a very interesting day here in markets in a number of respects. But first, a bit of quick review here. In terms of stock markets, most of the overseas markets, most of the Asian markets, I should start with, were really quite firm in here today, although a number of them are closed for the last of the religious holidays. I think that continues. It's also the case tomorrow, and then they'll open up again, and we may see some pretty dramatic catch-up moves by some of them. Malaysia could well be a case in point. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But here, probably the star performer was Japan, where the Nikkei stock average was up 1.9% over 200. I think it was about over 207 points on the day. Now, dogs of the portfolio department, I have a couple of positions there in the Nikkei. Remember, I described it as a situation where I've been returned from my summer holiday. I looked around at the markets, was surprised to see that this was on the August 31st when I got back. I knew markets had rallied. I thought I'd probably want to short something, and I was really impressed by the technical action that I had seen. So it made me think that I should be going in the other direction. And the rally, sort of a week later, as I was taking it all on board, the rally was so explosive that I was tempted to go for a laggard in Japan, and usually it pays to go with front runners. I mean, I teach this at my seminars, for heaven's sake. But I went for Japan, and it messed around. It fell, and I picked up a little bit more, and it fell a bit further. But we have seen an explosive rebound over the next couple of days. So now I'm slightly in profit overall on that position, and I think Japan looks like, to me, the technical action suggests that we will certainly see a better rally there. The oil price weakness has certainly been a factor helping Japan and all the other stock markets. Now, this afternoon here, we've seen the modest early gains in the European markets spill over into a bit of profit taking. The main exception was the UK, which closed with modest gain of 9 points or so. But most of the others were on the minus side. But say there's no real selling in here, just a little bit of pause and consolidation, which is hardly surprising after the extremely good gains that we have seen in recent weeks. Now, Wall Street, as I speak, it's been pretty much up a tiny bit, down a tiny bit, and at the moment, it's mixed, with the Dow down 4 and the S&P a little more, 177, but the Nasdaq up 3.25. So, kind of quite quiet day there. My view overall is that these stock markets are unlikely to see more than a pause and consolidation before they do push a bit higher, and I remain of the view that this is a medium-term rally and that it should continue throughout most of the rest of this year and could easily go well into the first quarter of 2005. Now, would it go much beyond that? Well, there's that interesting chart and report that I posted on the website today. I think the graphics will certainly interest you. This sort of every fifth years ending in five phenomenon, rather. To me, it seems more coincidence than anything else. But maybe I'm missing something. So you people tell me if I am, by any chance. Okay. Now, other developments here in the markets. We've seen steadier close on the U.S. Treasury bonds. I'm experiencing a little bit of profit erosion there. I'm not quite sure why those have been moving up, other than there were some very big Asian buyers, as we know all along. Largely China and Japan have been very, very heavy buyers as they keep their own currencies down. The pattern suggests to me that we don't have too much upside in bonds, and that the next big move will be down. So I maintain a modest short position there, and also in the JGBs, which have eased a little bit. So I'm currently showing a small profit on the U.S. Treasury bonds and a small loss on the JGBs, to which I may add. Now, the more important developments have actually occurred elsewhere. We had a lot of jawboning in the currencies today. That was not really surprising. It was coming from a number of different European sources, several ECB people that I'd never heard of previously, some from various European politicians, and all sort of lamenting the fact that the euro had been strengthening here against the US dollar, and how this was a problem for the European economies. Well, certainly all that is true, and we had enough jawboning to peg the euro back a little bit from its high. Got up to a high of 129.99 here today, so it's still running into a little resistance near the old highs and near that 130, not close to that 130 area. But not that much of a pullback. We're at 129.44 as I speak. The yen's been a little stronger in here today. That had been weak against the European currencies. But you know my view on this, that the euro is in the political game here now, with this jawboning going on. That makes me nervous, and it's obviously making other people nervous. I don't see any evidence that the dollar's overall decline is over at this stage, but I don't want to be playing it against one of the European currencies with this jawboning going on, and something like the Swissie could also move in sympathy. So that's my preference for the Australian dollar against the US currency. Now, this had another very firm day here. It's 3 days on the trot following that prior consolidation of, looks like, five days. And it closed its, or it's currently trading at 77.33. That's up 40 ticks. Now, 77.33, I've said that I think this will get up and test the former high. This was the February high, which is just up near the psychological round of phobia level of 80. Now, 80, 80 US dollar cents, 80 US cents, I should say. I think we will see that actually tested. Whether it occurs in an orderly sort of ranging fashion, as the chart has been so far, I mean it's really moving up in a very, very orderly channel, or whether we get some acceleration remains to be seen, assuming that it is going to move up to that previous high. But I don't see any reason on the charts why it shouldn't actually do that. Although if the jawboning succeeded in causing the dollar to rally more against the euro and perhaps some of the other European currencies, that could easily spill over into this currency. But in the meantime, I'm going to continue to play it with an in the money trailing stop. I would expect some resistance up near that 80 cent level. Now, it's interesting to look at the New Zealand dollar, which I've mentioned from time to time as well, and that had actually led the move up. It moved back to a psychological and round of phobia level near 70 cents and fell back a couple of cents quite sharply, or quite rapidly, I should say. It wasn't all that big a downward reaction, but it was a bigger one than it had seen since moving up from the September lows. But that was a very Short-term move, I think it only lasted a couple of days, and then the New Zealand dollar began to steady up against the greenback again, and has had another couple of good days, and is testing the 70 cents level once again. So that might well be a role model for what we could well see with the Australian dollar. And if we have the good fortune to see this run up to 80 cents from its current level of 77.32, I'll probably lighten a bit there, expecting to see some resistance. And if we did see that resistance, subject to where the New Zealand dollar is at the time, I would probably probably repurchase the Aussie on any setback. Since I know a number of people have that position, well, let's hope it gets up there anyway. Okay, what else to mention in here? Now, I picked up a little bit more gold here today. I don't like to pay up when these metals spend most of their time ranging, or certainly the precious metals have spent most of their time ranging. I like to buy them on weakness, as you know. But we did have that breakout on gold bullion. It was the first metal to push to a new high this month. I think it's the only metal that's pushed to a new high for the last few years this month. So I thought, well, I really do want to have a presence there, although I've got a number of other metals positions, as you may also recall. And so I added to it. I was prepared to add to it on either strength or easing, and it wasn't seeing much easing and appeared to be maintaining this breakout. Well, it has maintained this breakout so far, so thus I increased that position a little bit more. It's not that large a position overall, and I would certainly consider adding to it again, preferably if we saw a little bit more of a setback. It had just pulled off the highs up near 440 today and came back, and it's closed a little softer. It's sort of 436.75. That's the spot bullion price. Now, one of the dramas here today was that the oil price was extremely weak at one stage, and it fell nearly $2. Got down to about 45.25 on the spot price. So with this additional decline that we have seen, there's no longer a case of this downward reaction bearing any resemblance whatsoever to the important reactions that I kept referring to, which had occurred in August and in June. My view, as you may recall, was that we had seen in this move that we're now getting, that right from first day, that it was likely to be a medium-term correction because of the downward dynamic off the highs, and because it was, of course, occurring from a higher level than previously within its overall upward trend, and therefore this was a medium-term correction, meaning that it wouldn't just be pulling back $5 or so and then moving back up to a new high ground 4 to 5 weeks later. Well, that remains to be seen, but what did happen here today is after getting down to 45.25, it closed well up from that at 46.87, I think. So it left a lot of tail on the chart, and while it was still down on the day, so that big tail indicated that some demand had come in and at the lower level. Now, that suggests to me that we may have seen oil's downside for a while, but that will depend tomorrow. If we get upside follow through, then I will feel that we've definitely seen the low for a while. I don't want to be too bearish here, and I'm certainly not becoming more bearish as this goes lower, far from it, because my view overall is that crude oil is very much in a secular bull market, but that it had become overextended. We were starting to see signs of selling pressure beginning to emerge from those two small key day reversals that had preceded the bigger downward dynamic this month that marked the onset of this big correction. But at this level, and I think really anything under $50 for sure, the oil is not going to be a problem for this stock market rally, in my view. I'm watching this with interest, though, because the lower it goes, the more tempted I would be to step in. And I'm going to resist the temptation to step in and buy a little crude oil on the basis of this tail. Although if I had a short position in it, I would probably be walking away. Now, what else can I mention to you in here? Ah, the biggest drama on the day was with coffee, and I've got a couple of positions there currently in the Robusta contract. My first position that I had was a profitable trade in the Arabica contract. That's the U.S. quoted contract. And although it's been a tough one to trade overall, because it has been really quite choppy, and that's largely because coffee has been in one of these very rangy, this is the Arabica contract now, it's been in one of these very rangy long-term base formation development phases with it, which has been characterized by a slight upward bias. But really, it was the sort of thing where you'd get, I would say, 5 steps forward and at least 4 3/4 back down, and sometimes these moves were really quite sharp. Well, we had an explosive move in here today. It was up nearly 14%. Closed, for instance, the December contract closed up 11.15 at 91.65. Just think, that's just a huge, huge move. Now, the catalyst for this, and we had this story last week. I mentioned it in my Thursday or Friday audio. I think it was the Friday audio. Was the fact that Brazil was talking about holding back some of its production, and this has narrowed the contango. That's the discount of the spot price to the futures prices for the nearby month to the more distant months, and it will reflect conditions when there is no supply shortage, and therefore the longer months, longer dated months, will include the carrying, so-called carrying charge, which reflects interest rate differentials. So that discount of the spot price to the futures prices has narrowed a little bit in the last couple of days. That's Friday and today, as this coffee rebound has occurred. Now, the Robusta contract, which I own, I've got a position in January coffee, and that was a bit of a disaster in terms of timing. And then I picked up much closer to the recent and important bottom. I picked up or doubled the position up with a purchase in the March contract. Why was I running those losses? Well, I thought prices were very depressed. Or why did I continue with that January contract? With hindsight, it would have been smarter to get out of it. But that was an initial stake. I never go in aggressively initially with positions. And also, I was trading, although I picked it up on a after a small rally. The price was historically very depressed. Therefore, I didn't feel that I was risking an enormous amount with a small position in what was a very depressed market. But it certainly did go lower, and I'm just glad that I picked up more. So I've got I'm still losing money on the January position, the ill-timed January position, and have quite a reasonable profit in the March contract. But more importantly, for anyone who's interested in this market, it does look very much as if the Arabica contract, that's the U.S. quoted contract, that was up over 14%, it does look as if that has completed its base overall. Now, after a whacking great gain like that, it'll be very interesting to see what it does tomorrow. Normally, one would expect to see some consolidation, but given all the support underneath, I certainly wouldn't rule out further gains here. Also, at least about 5 cents of that move had occurred after the London price closed, and that closed up nearly 7% at up $43 here to at 670 on the January Robusta coffee contract. So I'll be very surprised if that doesn't at least start off strong tomorrow. And given the dynamics that we've seen in this recently, I'll be holding on to my two positions there. We'll say one still showing a loss, albeit fortunately much reduced, and the other showing an increasing profit. Also, in the grains, now these were talked about at great length during the chart seminar that I completed on Thursday and Friday with Owen Tracy's assistance and one review session. And there was a lot of interest in these markets, which I've been describing as dirt cheap, but worrying, well, worrying, but just cautioning, I should say, that depressed market, there's no guarantee that it's suddenly going to explode upwards, but I wanted to be represented there because I expected these things were very, very close to an important bottom and that the next big move would be on the upside. It's just I didn't have any idea whether it was going to be relatively short term that we would see a bear squeeze and some actual long buying, or whether it would take considerably longer. Well, these have lost downside momentum and are firm overall, and I'm talking really now about all of these depressed markets. Soybeans, which I own, corn, which I own, I notice that wheats and oats has been one that's tended to lead a little bit in the past, have all lost downside momentum and established ranging patterns, which I suspect are no worse than the beginning of large type 3, those churning time and size type base formation patterns. And this looks to me as if these grains, and I'll add a few others, there's lumber, also very depressed, also cotton, extremely depressed prices, but the grains are really probably the cheapest. The grains and the soybeans are probably the cheapest of all. And I regard these as being in a baby steps tactics type of environment. In other words, fundamentally depressed, historically low, and but could well remain choppy for a while. Therefore, the tactic, if you know my baby steps article, or if you had a chance to look at that, and you can find it in the subscribers forum, is to nibble very lightly on weakness and to let a little bit out during the rally phase. I may well step up my activity in this sector before long. I've been talking about doing that, and I'm really quite likely to do that. But this is not for everybody, this type of tactic or this sort of activity. There are a lot of traders and investors who, well, first they don't want to touch this commodity area, these soft commodities with a barge pole. If that's you, then don't go near them. Don't be influenced by my enthusiasm for them. But there are also others who want to wait until patterns have bottomed out and uptrends have been established and so on if they're going to buy. And that certainly hasn't happened yet. But this is the type of market that I like, something that's very out of fashion, that's historically cheap, and where I think that the eventual upside potential, if not the near-term upside potential, is really rather considerable relative to the risk. But they do have to be traded, not on any sort of buy and put in a stop type of activity, but very much on this baby steps strategy, as I say, or that's what works for me at any rate, and that's what I will be deploying. Anything else to mention? No, I think that's probably pretty much a wrap, and I don't want to make this audio too long, so I'll just say good night, and no doubt we'll look forward to more excitement tomorrow.